We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Told Education Network. Again, TollTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TollTutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TollTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley. And it just let the interesting interviews roll on and on. And it's such an unbelievable thing. I get to talk to so many amazing people. Bob Newton, superstar with Nebraska. Bob, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Very well, Neil. How are you?
Doing fantastic, for sure. And where did you always want to play football growing up, Bob?
When I was growing up in Southern California, I was rather large as a youngster, so I couldn't meet the weight classification. So I wasn't, you know, they wouldn't let you play if you were over a certain weight and age. So, but I would always go to the youth football games and watch them on Saturday, and then I finally started playing organized football as a sophomore in high school.
Interesting. And so, because you're a big guy, it was a perfect fit for you. And once you got on that field, did you know you could play in the pros someday? Did it come easy to you?
No, not at all. It didn't come easy to me at all. I was very uncoordinated as a sophomore in high school, and I was very gangly, and I was about, I don't know, 5'10", maybe 200 at that time, which was a good size for a sophomore, but, you know, fairly gangly, and I was growing pretty fast. And so, and you know, they had to teach me how to get in the stance. But each year in high school, I got better. And by my junior year, I was voted most improved player. By my senior year, I was most valuable lineman. But still, colleges, basically, there was no interest for four-year school, so I went to a junior college for 2 years, and then I rapidly developed technique and skills and size, and then got offered a lot of scholarships and ended up going to the University of Nebraska.
All right, so you go to the University of Nebraska, and at that time, in the 70s, was it a powerhouse like the years in the 80s and 90s with Nebraska?
No, actually, when I went there, they were coming, my first season there was 1969, and they were coming off 2 6-4 seasons, and they were thinking about firing Coach Bob Devaney, and there was a lot of negativity towards the football program. And but in 1969, we went 9-2. We beat Georgia in the Sun Bowl 45-6. And then in 1970, we went undefeated and were declared national champions. And then the 1971 team was also undefeated and were national champions. And many outlets have voted them the team of the century, the 1971 Nebraska team. So we got it turned around.
Was it the same coach that got it turned around?
Yes, it was. It was Coach Devaney. Coach Devaney coached through 1973, and then he turned over the head coaching responsibilities to Coach Tom Osborne, who actually recruited me out of California.
He oh, wow.
The main person that contacted me to recruit.
That's a legendary coach for sure, Tom Osborne. And your coach before as well. But, I mean, amazing. What that really brought the Nebraska program. You were the beginning of it, right? Of the legacy of what Nebraska football is, it sounds like.
I feel very fortunate and very grateful to be part of that historic turnaround and the progress that we made. They also implemented a strength power conditioning program in the spring of 1969, which I was one of the first players in. The man responsible for that was Boy Epley, who's kind of the godfather of strength training for college coaches, and got to know him, and he and I continued to remain friends. But there's the state of Nebraska really supports the program, and so it was a great time for the fans of Nebraska too.
And that became the team, right? Lincoln and the Cornhuskers. Everyone lived and died Cornhuskers after those two seasons, didn't they? For sure.
Yep, it was a great experience. And then I went from there to the Bears in 71.
And you played for a bunch of different teams as an All-Pro for sure. What was your greatest experience in the NFL? Which team would you say hang my hat on and say that's my team?
Well, you know, I was with the Bears for 5 years and then the Seattle Seahawks for 6 years, and I had great experiences on both teams. I think helping being on the Seattle Seahawks expansion team of 1976 with Steve Largent and Jim Zorn and some guys, that brings a lot of gratitude because that was their first year, and we were, you know, we were responsible to get the franchise off the ground, and I ended up playing with them, as I said, 6 years, and you know, we turned it into a winning franchise by 1978. We were 9-7 after only being in the league 3 years, and then 1979 we were 9-7. We would have made the playoffs in today's the way they have teams eligible to make playoffs today. But back then, 9-7 they'd get you in there. But then I had a great time in Chicago playing with guys like Dick Butkus and Gil Sayers and Walter Payton. So, and just being around George Halas and that organization was a phenomenal experience too. We weren't winning there too much at that time, but it was still a great experience.
Well, Bob, you have a book for both hands of all those players you played with. To write, have you not written a book yet? I don't know why you haven't, because of those teams playing with the Bears, with those amazing legendary players, and then also playing with the Seahawks and the beginning of the phases of a tremendous franchise, and with some of the players you played with, some great stories to tell for sure.
Yeah, I've talked to some people about the possibility of doing that, Neil, writing a book, and so it's definitely in the thinking stage for sure.
You need to contact Triumph Books. That's who you need to contact out of Chicago. Best sports writing book. I have Triumph Book authors on all the time, and I guarantee that.
And what was the name again?
Triumph. Triumph Books.
Oh, Triumph. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
They're phenomenal out of Chicago, and oh my gosh, I have all their great players on all the time, and I mean not players and players and authors, but I mean tremendous. And they're always looking for celebrity authors for their writing. So definitely, I think you should think about that. Put that on your bucket list for sure, Bob. All right, so because I tell you, I'd be interested in just learning about the Bears. Could you imagine some of those stories and playing with those legendary players? And then the Seahawks, that would sell a lot too, because how about those Seahawks?
When I look at them now, I mean, I was at the Super Bowl game, and they could be 2-time world champion back to back.
Don't talk about that, Bob. Oh man, you know why I'm upset? As a Steeler fan, do you think I wanted the Patriots to win? No,
right.
No, they're the evil ones.
That's right.
So I was like, you know, and I'm not going to say I'm a huge Seahawk fan because I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I'm a Bronco and Steeler fan, sure. So it's very hard to. But I wanted the Seahawks to win, and I couldn't believe that happened. And so you were at the Super Bowl, and you're probably like, okay, they're going to be 2-time Super Bowl champions.
Oh yeah, and I thought it was over. Yeah, the Seahawks. We had a. The semi alumni get together there, and a lot of former players showed up, and so it was great seeing old teammates and supporting the Hawks.
Well, so you bleed both teams? Would you say Chicago Bears too, or are you back in touch with them a lot and stuff? The organization.
Well, I it's been a while. I went back to the 2003 when they opened up the new Soldiers Field, and there was a bunch of us that went back to there. But then I haven't been back there since. But I am going there in June, and I've already made arrangements to go see Halas Hall, which is in Lake Forest, Illinois, where the team trains. And I got a good friend there still with the organization, Clyde Emmerich, who was the strength coach there since 1975, one of the strength coaches. So he's going to meet me out there so I get a tour of the facility and say hi to some folks. So I'm going to get more involved with the alumni there back in Chicago.
All right, two great organizations to say you're with, and unbelievable how probably when you opened up that franchise, you never knew that that franchise was going to grow like this.
We had really good ownership. The Nordstrom family was the owners, and they were very impressive, and everything was first class. So we knew that, you know, they were serious about having a successful organization. And the people of Seattle, as you can see now with the 12th man, were just they were like that even when we first started. Almost, they were so happy to have a team in the Northwest.
Here's a question. All right, Bob. So I understand you had an honor with the Seahawks. Tell us specifically about that honor with the Seahawks.
Yeah, well, it was in 1980. I was I was chosen as the Seahawk Lineman of the Year, which was the first year that they started that award in Seattle. And I was very proud of that because I was coming off a very severe career-threatening knee injury. I sliced my anterior cruciate to pieces towards the end of the 1979 season. So there was some doubt that I would even play. So I felt very good about coming back in 1980, put a lot of hard work in the rehabilitation in the offseason, and I was honored with that award. And I think they still give it up there in Seattle. But I was, you know, I had some football cards produced in the early 70s. The Bears thought I would be an all-pro offensive guard once I got a little bit more experience. And one of the things I think that prevented me from that was my substance use problem that I developed. It's probably started in late high school, progressed through college, and then really materialized when I became a pro. And it just kept me from off season. Each year it got a little bit harder for me in the off season to get conditioning and so forth. And soon after my 11-year NFL career, I entered an alcohol drug treatment center in the state of Washington, that was in July of 1983, and thankfully I've been sober since then, and have worked mostly for the last 29 years. I've worked in the field of chemical dependency, and I've been with the Betty Ford Center here in Rancho Mirage for the last 15 years. So
that's great.
It turned into a life's work for me.
So going through that hard time, Bob, and then making the choice to get better, and then after recovering from the alcohol abuse, you decided, I am going to pay it forward and help others through these trying times. That's great.
Yeah, it just became a passion, and I just felt there was a lot of ignorance in our society about chemical dependency and the disease of addictions. And so I've done a ton of public speaking and so forth, and I'm doing that now for the Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation. And these types of interviews and so forth to just help with the educational process in our society from what I've learned and from my recovery, I feel I owe that responsibility.
Are you concerned about young people today, especially with now the legalization of marijuana and it's being in how high school kids are thinking it's an okay drug to go ahead and utilize, and it's a gateway drug in so many aspects to really having more and more people addicted to drugs and alcohol because of just specifically just how the mainstream media takes it and all of the people and how it's really just a joke and it's okay for kids and how
that's a good point. No, yeah. I agree with you 100%. I think it's a very dangerous concept, these states legalizing them, because young kids will they see that as a mixed message. And the mixed messages we send young people about alcohol too, a lot of times young kids start drinking around 13 or 14, and they see so many positive messages on TV and sports outlets that, you know, this is what you need is to drink. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of room for us to grow in a society, and our responsibility to send a clearer message to young people.
Oh, definitely send that clear message to young people. And think about this. The problem is that you legalize in a couple states. Then you have places like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where the kids are saying, hey, it's legal in some other places. Why can't I do it? So I'm going to be, it shouldn't be illegal. And the police are starting to ignore it more. And so that leads to it. Then it leads to harder drugs. And the kids that can't control themselves, Bob, are the ones that, you know, are going through some hard times and they really get addicted to this drug or alcohol. They decide, I'm going to try something even more that's going to make me feel even better because of their hard times, because of maybe hereditary addiction from their family members and things like that. And it's just so difficult. Mm-hmm. And it must frustrate you and really say, we got to go through this process, especially when they get to this addiction phase, right?
Yeah, well, it does. It does. And you're exactly right. I've worked as a counselor for many years too. And every assessment that I did on a heroin addict, they didn't start right on heroin. It was a progressive process, and it usually started with alcohol and pot, and then those drugs quit doing having the effect that they wanted. And so they just, it escalated and escalated, and they built up tolerance. The next thing, you know, they're you know, a lot of the pain medications now get so expensive that, you know, people go to heroin because it's cheaper. And so it's definitely an element of our society that we've got to continue to address.
So you work with all types of abuse, of substance abuse, then, at the clinic?
We treat, you know, the disease of alcoholism. I like using the term chemical dependency. Anybody that has a dependency on any chemical, it could be, you know, speed, amphetamines, cocaine, pot. Most people that are coming in now, there's usually polyaddiction, where there's usually two or three chemicals that they're using pretty regularly instead of just one. Now, some of the older adults that come in, sometimes it's exclusively alcohol. But, you know, the middle age on down, a lot of them are coming in with multiple addictions. They, you know, a lot of times they may go to a psychiatrist or to a doctor that doesn't understand the disease of addiction, and they get prescribed some medication that becomes, you know, physically dependent, and they get physically dependent on it.
Right.
And they weren't honest with the psychiatrist about their alcohol use. So they get the double whammo. They have an alcohol problem. Now they're on a drug that's addictive to them. Some kind of antidepressants like Xanax or so forth. So then they come into treatment, and they're pretty sick people. And they need medical detox, and they need to be looked after medically to make sure that they can, be detoxed safely.
Right. Well, Bob, you're doing some tremendous work, and you really piggybacked off your great NFL career and college career to help others, for sure. Do you have a place to find information on you, Bob, or anything, or is it more?
For me?
Yeah, or is it more just where you work?
Yeah, because I had my Nebraska career. I was a consensus All-American there as an offensive tackle, and so that's the most accolades I got when we were speaking about football, and I was very proud of that. I've been chosen in the Nebraska Hall of Fame football, and is one of the top 50 players in the history of Nebraska football.
That's great.
But I could send you a little bio if you'd like for me to, Neil.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And is there a website for the Betty Ford Foundation in California where you're at? The one.
Absolutely, it's the Hazel and Betty Ford .com or .org, I think, and we'll get the site will come up. If they just type in Hazel and Betty Ford Foundation, it'll come up. And then it has all of our services there, and here at Rancho Mirage, and throughout the facilities, throughout the other states where we have facilities. The Hazelman Foundation has a very expansive network of facilities throughout the United States, and Florida, here in Rancho Mirage, New York, Minnesota.
Awesome. So, great.
Yeah, Oregon. Yeah.
Well, definitely. Let's stay in touch. Let's figure out a way we can connect, maybe on Facebook and stuff, and reach out. And then I definitely hope you write a book. You have some great stories to tell, for sure. So when you have that book written, you'll definitely come back on the show for sure.
Okay,
you're always
Neil.
Welcome anytime.
And,
yeah.
And I am on Facebook. So just under Bob Newton, and you're under Neil Haley, right?
Yes, Neil S. Haley, because I try to differentiate myself, but you'll find me easily.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'll send you a friend request.
All right. Sounds good, Bob. Good talking to you, and best of luck.
Thank you, Neil.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Weekends are for the warriors of home projects. 84 Lumber has 14 Pittsburgh locations that are open on Saturdays to keep you on track and get you the supplies you need. Each member of 84 Lumber's expert team is experienced in building materials of all kinds, and they are ready to answer your home improvement questions to get the job done right. If you're looking for the hometown personalized service of a family-owned company, 84 Lumber is your go-to supplier. Visit 84lumber.com to find your nearest store and get started on your project today.
Join us on Thursday night, November 16th, as the Penguins take on the Devils at PPG Paints Arena.
Malkin skates the stick, angle down low, chance in front, Crosby, he scores! Sidney Crosby falling down, buries it!
The first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive a Penguins Trapper hat, thanks to UPMC Hillman Cancer Center, in honor of Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Order your tickets now at PittsburghPenguins.com. Penguin season presented by UPMC.